Please turn with me in your Bible to Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 2 through 4. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2. If you do not bring a Bible with you, Bibles are available in the seat pocket in front of you. I will be reading from the English Standard Version. And the Lord answered me, "Write the vision. Make it plain on tablets, so he may run who reads it. For still the vision awaits its appointed time. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. Behold, his soul is puffed up. It is not upright within him. But the righteous shall live by his faith." Let us pray. Father God, I thank you for giving us this day, a day that we can gather in corporate worship. Thank you for the tremendous opportunity that you have blessed me with today, the opportunity to glorify you, serve your people, continue the mission of sharing the good news of Jesus that you have placed before your church, and share how you offer a vision for how and where we should serve. Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit will grasp my heart so that my soul is not puffed up, and that my words are trustworthy and are in line with your will. They will exalt you and are delivered in such a way that we all feel the power and presence of your presence. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Please be seated. When reading about vision in the Bible, I think about the testimonies of others that have had visions radically changed and how they've changed people's lives. The Apostle Paul had a radical transformation and frequent communication with God, which led him to advance the gospel and plant churches throughout Asia Minor. Moses also had a transformation and ongoing interaction with God that caused him to lead Israel from Egypt and eventually deliver God's law to Israel to set them apart as a nation that God would deliver our Savior. Some have heard and most have seen my radical transformation that began with a vision like Paul's. Paul's occurring on the Damascus Road and mine coming in my bedroom in the middle of the night. Then there's the account of Khalid Mansour Sumru, a Muslim convert from the Islamic Republic of Pakistan. Khalid recounts his transformation when he was 14 years old and studying in Pakistan. He recalls his family forcing him to memorize the Quran as early as 7 years old. He shares that he had many Christian acquaintances in school and that he would often taunt Christian students while affirming the accuracy of the Quran and rejecting the Bible. He states that he wanted to force the Christians to accept Islam, but remembers a teacher once stating, "God may choose you as he chose the Apostle Paulus." One day, Khalid challenged his classmates that each would try to burn the other's holy book to determine which would burn and therefore be false. He thought that God would save his word and allow the fake to burn. The Christians rejected the idea for fear of facing the law for burning the Quran in an Islamic country. Convinced by the holiness of the Quran, Khalid stated he would do it himself. Khalid proceeded to set the Quran on fire, and it burned before their eyes. Then he attempted the same with the Bible. Khalid pronounces that as soon as he did this, the Bible struck his chest and he fell to the ground with the smoke surrounding his body as he described seeing a man with golden hair wrapped in light at his side. Khalid proclaims that the man placed a hand on his head and said, "You are my son, and from now on you will preach the gospel in your nation. Go, your Lord is with you." Khalid affirms that his vision of Jesus and the mission that Jesus gave him is the foundation for his faith and the lifestyle that he lives. Khalid shares that his family rejected him, yet he still learned God's word, entered Christian ministry, and continues in the mission Jesus gave him 22 years later. Khalid has seen many people come to the Lord, accept Christ as their Savior. God's imparted vision in Khalid generated his faith, and his faith kept him working toward his vision, and Khalid lives with visionary faith. Habakkuk prophesied in the southern kingdom of Judah shortly before the exile between 612 and 605 BC, when Judah's sin was at its highest. The three-chapter book includes a dialogue between Habakkuk and God. In chapter 1, Habakkuk laments Judah's departure from God's commandments and inquires why there is no justice for their wickedness. God answers that judgment will come through the Chaldeans who would conquer Judah. Habakkuk lamented a second time, unable to understand why God would use a nation more wicked than Judah in judging Judah. God decisively directed Habakkuk to write down his vision of how judgment will occur and happen in God's time, and that the righteous shall live by his faith. Habakkuk cried out, God responded, and when Habakkuk did not understand, he cried out again, at which point God gave Habakkuk a vision and instructions to write the vision down on how God will judge Judah, but ultimately redeem God's people for those who remain patient and live by the faith of God's promises. Many here today, or perhaps watching or listening or online, wander through life without vision or purpose. Some, like Habakkuk, may question why their prayers seem unanswered. Some may opine that bad things are happening to them or good things are happening to others, and they don't understand why others would deserve such blessings. Some may be living with the consequences of broken relationships or struggling with financial problems. Others may be grieving through the emotional distress and depression of a lost spouse, parent, sibling, child, best friend, or otherwise suffering from the pain or fear of physical or substance abuse or physical ailments or disease. Alternatively, some may be confused, like Khalid Mansour Sumru during childhood, or even angry at God for allowing these afflictions to happen. Habakkuk felt the same way and asked the same question in his dialogue with God. And I am confident that if you turn to him, he will give you a vision and he will bolster your faith with that vision. He will carry you through the uncertainties you may have today. Regardless of the circumstances that you are currently experiencing, God is sovereign and will give guidance in his time to those who maintain an unwavering commitment to living in trust in his promises, protection, and salvation. Those who live with visionary faith can endure difficult times with hope and confidence in this life and eternally. Developing visionary faith begins with receiving God's vision. The passage under study today begins with, "And the Lord answered me," a transitionary statement that came from Habakkuk patiently awaiting God's response from Habakkuk's lament at the end of the previous chapter. In that lament, Habakkuk was conflicted when he realized that God planned to use pagan people who worshiped themselves and their accomplishments to bring justice to Judean oppressors. Habakkuk's choice of words is evidence of his dialogue with God and the importance of the vision that he was about to receive. God continues, "Write the vision, make it plain on tablets, so he may run who reads it." Writing down the vision permitted Habakkuk and other messengers to run and tell others God's instructions. Much like the Bible, it provided a permanent, easy-to-read record of the vision so that readers would know how to run their lives and how they should live according to God's will. I previously mentioned how much I enjoy learning about God's vision that he gives to other people. In another instance, I recall watching a video of Dr. Jerry Falwell, former pastor of Thomas Road Baptist Church and founder of Liberty University, speaking at the 2005 Southern Baptist Convention Annual Conference. Falwell spoke about God's vision for Thomas Road Baptist Church and Liberty University. Before communicating his God-inspired vision, Falwell quoted Solomon from Proverbs 29:18, "Where there is no vision, the people cast off restraint, but blessed is he who keeps the law." Solomon's point is that vision is often communicated through his word, and without a God-imputed vision consistent with his word, we will perish. All other visions are likely not God-inspired and are certainly temporal. Falwell elaborated with the question that all Christians should ask themselves. What does God want me to accomplish in my life? What would I try to do if I thought I might succeed? What goals would I set if I knew I could not fail? What price am I willing to pay? What sacrifice am I willing to make? Think about God asking us those questions for a moment. Imagine setting out to accomplish his vision. If God is for us, who can be against us? Falwell had that perspective when he envisioned Liberty University over 50 years ago as an academic institution, an institution that is always accountable to God and Thomas Road Baptist Church in training men and women as champions for Christ to fill the world with Christian doctors, lawyers, teachers, entrepreneurs, and professionals from all walks of life. Falwell's vision included an annual enrollment of 50,000 residential and online students. Their enrollment in 2022, 50 years after that vision and 15 years after the passing of Dr. Falwell, is over 100,000 students. Falwell lived with visionary faith. George Barna, the founder of the Barna Group, a market firm specializing in studying American religious belief and behavior, describes vision as a clear mental image of a preferable future imparted by God to his chosen servants and based upon an accurate understanding of God, self, and circumstances. It is a bridge from the past to the future, the eye of faith to see the invisible and the decisiveness to make it visible. A dynamic that enables one to translate faith and dreams into a new and personal walk with God. It is God-given energy that will make us all risk-takers. Habakkuk's vision came from God, and as instructed, he wrote them on tablets, much like one set of instructions that God gave Moses. Moses writes in Exodus chapter 31, verse 18, "And he gave to Moses, when he had finished speaking with him on Mount Sinai, the two tablets of the testimony, tablets of stone written with the finger of God." Then in Exodus chapter 32, verses 15 and 16, Moses writes, "Then Moses turned away, went down from the mountain with the two tablets of the testimony in his hand, tablets that were written on both sides, on the front and on the back. They were written. The tablets were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God, engraved on the tablets." These statements capture God's vision for faithful living for his people, which we call the Ten Commandments. They are God's instructions to Israel regarding God and each other. Daniel also wrote on vision. In chapter 7, verse 1, Daniel writes, "In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel saw a dream and visions of his head as he lay in his bed. Then he wrote down the dream and told the sum of the matter." God revealed the future to Daniel in the following vision, an assurance to God's people that God is still in control despite the oppression, exile, and persecution they would experience. God will rescue and deliver his faithful people while fulfilling his purpose. In both cases, like Habakkuk, God gave instructions to a chosen leader. The leader caught the vision and took it to the people to tell of God's instructions, which generated faith, and their faith encouraged them to stay focused on that vision. Moses and Daniel lived with visionary faith. The same applies to each of us. When we catch God's wisdom and confirm it in his word, like the tablets of Habakkuk, Moses, and the writing of Daniel, we learn how to live according to God's will and develop visionary faith. There is a recurring theme in the Bible about the relationship between God's vision for his people and faith. With Habakkuk and Moses, God revealed himself in a vision to both men who captured God's instructions on tablets. Moreover, they and those who read those visions or instructions lived in faith, anticipating the future. They all lived with visionary faith. I spoke on the importance of Solomon's wisdom. Where there is no vision, the people cast off restraint. But blessed is he who keeps the law. Indeed, when we have no God-imparted vision and do not follow his guidance through prayer and the word of God, we will perish. Still, simply receiving that vision and beginning a journey of visionary faith takes time and perseverance. Developing visionary faith takes time and sometimes periods of actively waiting on God. God tells us in Habakkuk verse 3, "For still the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay." God advises Habakkuk that the fulfillment of his message may take longer than Habakkuk expects. But God's timing is always perfect. So why is God making Habakkuk wait? Why does he make any of us wait? Still, those in Christ must learn and continue to experience that wait as a part of our ongoing walk with Jesus. And waiting should not be going to sleep or abandoning efforts towards that vision. It means activity under command, readiness for any new command, and an ability not to take matters into our own hands. We are actively pursuing the vision as we anticipate its arrival. Habakkuk's story of lamenting and then actively waiting while experiencing trials and sometimes struggling with their faith reminds me of the story of Bethany Hamilton, captured in the 2011 movie Soul Surfer. Like Habakkuk, Bethany had to wait through a painful situation and uncertainty of her future. A Christian at an early age, Bethany had grand dreams and goals as a surfer that were nearly shattered when Bethany was attacked by a tiger shark while surfing off the island of Hawaii in 2003, leaving her without her left arm. In an I Am Second interview, Bethany shared that she lost 60% of her blood as she prayed through the ordeal and a paramedic whispered in her ear, "God will never leave you or forsake you." Devastated by the tragedy, Bethany questioned whether she should continue surfing. Living in faith and unable to clear her mind from her visions of surfing, Bethany got back on the surfboard and taught herself how to surf with one arm while actively waiting for God to guide her future. News of her accident and bold attempts to surf again spread as she received encouragement worldwide, further motivating her toward her vision. 1 year after her accident, Bethany signed up for World Vision, an evangelical Christian humanitarian aid, development, and advocacy organization. She boarded a plane to tsunami-stricken Thailand, where she spent a week serving the people of Thailand in many different ways. And perhaps the most memorable involved helping more than 50 children from the village she served overcome their fear of the ocean when she took them surfing. 2 years after her shark attack, Bethany took first place in the National Scholastic Surfing Association World Championships and continues to compete today. More importantly, she shares her visionary story and how living in faith got her through her ordeal, through her wait, and how God uses her to his glory in the Great Commission while fulfilling her surfing vision. God rewards those who actively wait in faith in him as they pursue their vision. Bethany lived with visionary faith. God told Habakkuk, "The vision awaits its appointed time." A consistent message that God communicated through Solomon in Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1. "For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. Everything has its proper time under God's order." For this reason, we must remain active in pursuing our vision while waiting for God's time. Jeremiah tells us in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 35, "The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him." David writes in Psalm 27, verse 14, "Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord." Isaiah writes in chapter 40, verse 31, "They who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up like wings, like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Notice how each of these verses includes verbs. They have an active waiting component. Jeremiah describes seeking God. David asserts being strong. And Isaiah proclaims, renew their strength, mount up with wings like eagles and run. All of these men actively waited for our Lord to do great and wondrous things. Jeremiah, David, and Isaiah patiently lived with visionary faith like Bethany. Habakkuk endured oppression under Judean, then Chaldean oppressors while waiting on the vision of God's judgment of both and the eventual restoration of Judah. Likewise, Bethany endured a shark attack, and while waiting for clarity in her future, she continued to pursue her vision because of her faith in him. When God places a vision in our hearts, we can better live with visionary faith regardless of the circumstances when we spend time in prayer, worship, fellowship, and his word. Thankfully, those in Christ have their faith and his word while waiting during those trying times. Still, those not in Christ tend to take matters into their own hands. Not all human beings experience God's vision. In the first half of Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, Habakkuk writes, "Behold," writes of God speaking, "behold, his soul is puffed up, it is not upright within him." This indicates Habakkuk is writing about the Chaldeans. Still, it would be appropriate to apply it to any arrogant person who trusts in himself and follows his own desires. The second half of the verse contrasts with the first half, that the righteous shall live by his faith. The second half of verse 4 is a prominent message in Habakkuk because it is quoted 3 times in the New Testament. Before we study the New Testament authors quoting Habakkuk, I would like to take a moment and focus on the first half of this verse. There is a rather sizable motivational self-help market in the United States. We purchase and listen to motivational books, podcasts, radio, or read blogs and websites as ways to gain motivation or do something that we aspire to be. Those who speak or write on motivational topics imply that we will instantly become motivated and then successful by following those guidelines. Authors of these books proclaim their methods are proven when one explicitly follows their formula and maintains an intense drive, thus will experience immediate and long-term success. Motivational speakers and writers make extraordinary claims by describing the personal achievements of highly charismatic and knowledgeable individuals who have succeeded in some areas of life. They believe that experience is sufficient to motivate people in adverse conditions or in diverse disciplines, careers, and life situations. Most of the tips from these speakers or writers revolve around speaking, thinking, and acting as they do. They say, "Do as I do and you will succeed." These skilled orators and writers assert they have the solution to humanity's problems. They work with the premise that what worked for them will work for their consumers, but that they do not share it. What they do not share is that their success is relative and temporal. While many motivational speakers acknowledge a God, few set God as the center of their brand. Thus, their methods often fail because their motives do not come from God. One will not have long-term sustainable accomplishments when following another person's vision of health, wealth, and success. Conversely, Habakkuk's vision came from God. And because his vision was written down and emphasized faith in God rather than proud men, New Testament writers relied on it in their teaching. Paul writes in chapter 1, verse 17 of his letter to the church in Rome, "For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by his faith, by faith." Paul writes in chapter 3, verse 11 in his letter to the Galatian church, "Now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law, for the righteous shall live by faith." Lastly, the writer of Hebrews writes in chapter 10, verse 38, "But my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him." Paul and the writer of Hebrews quote these verses in different situations. Paul heightens his message of justification by faith, a message of eternal salvation through faith in Jesus. And the writer of Hebrews reminds readers to live strong and faithful lives in God when amid trials. Habakkuk and the writer of Hebrews addresses the themes of patient endurance through suffering, with one minor difference. In Habakkuk, God's people suffered because of their unfaithfulness to the Lord, whereas in Hebrews, God's people suffered because of their faithfulness to the Lord. Regardless of the context, New Testament writers quoting Habakkuk's prophecy is appropriate in both cases because the righteous shall live by his faith is a statement of a lifestyle of faith for all circumstance and how to achieve God's vision placed before his people. Old Testament scholar Robert Chisholm suggests that the statement represents an unwavering commitment to God, coupled with trust in God's promise to reward and protect his loyal followers. Faith and faithfulness are two sides to the same coin. The writer of Hebrews suggests, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists, that he rewards those who seek him. Living with visionary faith in God will lead a person to make the impossible possible. Habakkuk grieved the oppression his people endured during Judean leaders, under Judean leaders, and then grieved with a vision of eventual Chaldean oppression. Still, through prayer and dialogue with God, he envisioned what a future would look like after God's redemption and restoration. Habakkuk lived with visionary faith that is evident in chapter 3 in Habakkuk. He writes, God, the Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on high places. Likewise, the writer of Hebrew tells us, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Like Habakkuk in chapter 3, the writer of Hebrews describes the feeling created when living with visionary faith. Imagine yourselves being in direct and constant communication with God, with an ability to express pain, sorrow, and desires to God for the future. Imagine God responding to your cries and directing us to write down a vision for the future, but cautioning that it will take active waiting, work, and faith in him to achieve that vision. Imagine how that vision might adapt and grow as God places us in varying situations and trials. When developing that relationship with God and living with visionary faith, we know that the journey will be enlightening and the destination will be glorious. Visionary faith is a lifestyle of faith that aspires for conditions that do not exist now. The vision is not a one-time endeavor. It requires renewal, adaptation, and adjustment as we grow in Christ. Vision provides a picture of the future. It delivers energy and purpose. It fosters risk-taking and sustains our ministries, families, and organizations. A vision is always God-given and is not man-centered. It focuses on seemingly impossible, but always achievable, because through God, all things are possible. It provides confidence and invites criticism from the world, but always makes room for God's will. It is rooted in biblical truth, takes time, and never yields to the status quo, human traditions, fads, or trends. Without visionary faith, we cannot live out our calling in life. We cannot achieve our God-given purpose. We will not reach the vision God planned for us, and we will not live eternally with Jesus. This morning, I shared examples of how God provides vision, and with vision comes faith, which carries his people to achieve their vision even in times of trials or long waits. Still, we must actively pursue that God-given vision through prayer, guidance from the Holy Spirit, and his word. Habakkuk lived by his faith in God, knowing God would restore Judah. Khalid Mansour Sumru, Dr. Jerry Falwell, and Bethany Hamilton had joys. They lived with visionary faith in Jesus for salvation while pursuing God's vision for their lives. Christ brought eternal life and brings joy while we are still on this earth that far outweighs the short-term trials or gains that we may be experiencing at any given moment through a vision not offered by God. In the examples I offered this morning, God used people from all walks of life to advance his kingdom by fulfilling the Great Commission through a personal and unique vision. A Muslim convert in Pakistan, a female surfer in Hawaii, and a pastor and an educator from Lynchburg, Virginia. God bestowed visions on each of these individuals, and each of them lived with visionary faith as they lived out the visions God placed in their hearts. Different visions that fulfill the church's mission, the Great Commission. Perhaps now is the time to catch or renew our vision. God communicates his vision through his word and the Holy Spirit through prayer and other people. In doing so, God will offer inspiring revelation and a vision concerning a current or future mission that advances his kingdom regardless of our role in society. We must spend time in envisioning prayer for our lives. We must think big, discover our passion, experience and question our dreams, and validate what we envision through a biblical lens. A God-inspired vision may lead us to move, search for a new job, or consider full-time ministry. Then again, it may not. Perhaps God's vision for our lives is in fulfilling the Great Commission right where we are and within our current sphere of influence. Perhaps the vision might be sharing Jesus as a leader in the government, workplace, or community through mentorship and loving relationships. It may be as a wife and mother submitting to our husbands, and as Pastor Randy shared last week, sharing our faith with our children so that they grow up loving Jesus. Perhaps God's vision is as a husband and father to love our wives like Christ loved the church and be willing to give ourselves up for her while providing a headship model and not exacerbating our children. All of these cases require living with visionary faith. Maybe God placed something different but equally important on our hearts. Many of you know how God has moved in my life. After experiencing a similar transformation and spending an extended time learning in Arabia like Paul, God has placed a grand vision in my heart. I live with visionary faith in Jesus for salvation, navigating through trials, and fulfilling the vision he has placed in my heart for Southern Maryland. A vision of revival that includes a growing church overwhelmed with a fervent love of Christ and those of our community. A body of believers that loves each other as Christ loved us so that others will know and ask who we are. A body engaged in communities at home and abroad, ministering to those dealing with brokenness, meeting material needs, teaching truth, and praying over lost souls. A rapidly expanding family that warmly greets all people, holds each other in high regard, and accepts and encourages one another. An assembly that worships God for who he is and how he completes us, rather than for his material blessings. Worshippers who practice authentic and enthusiastic devotion where members and members can feel his power and presence, and visiting unbelievers are overcome with his company and are transformed. Disciples who ardently study his word individually and corporately and reproduce in groups. A family committed to group life, devoted to teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer so that God may add to our number day by day those who become saved. Friends, we can choose to live with visionary faith as we proceed in achieving a God-inspired vision, or we can be prideful and develop our own and try to control our future and control all situations. We could put our faith in other people, alcohol, drugs, our children, or extramarital relationships. Alternatively, we could be like Khalid Mansour Sumru, Dr. Jerry Falwell, or Bethany Hamilton, and put our trust and faith in Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We can live in faith as we live out the vision that he has or will bestow in us. Most here today or watching or listening online have a vision for the future. I ask, are the visions God inspired? Are they consistent with God's word? If so, then no challenge or obstacle placed in the way will prevent us from reaching the vision that God has placed on our hearts. Still, some may be with us who do not have a God-inspired vision. Perhaps they have a prideful or clouded vision because they live under their strength and do not live with trust and faith in Jesus. Perhaps some live with complete rebellion and hostility to God and have never surrendered their lives to Jesus Christ and have never obtained the comfort that he offers when we are in him. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through him. There is no other way to catch that God-given vision. There is no other way to live with visionary faith that ensures eternal salvation, the joy of hope of our future, and comfort as we endure the world's pain, suffering, and brokenness. Jesus is the only way for the forgiveness of sin. Jesus is the only way to experience freedom in real life. Jesus is the reason Khalid Mansour Sumru, Dr. Jerry Falwell, and Bethany Hamilton maintained their visionary faith, lived through trials, and continued toward the vision that God placed on their heart. Perhaps God is showing some here today an area of our lives that we need to submit to his lordship. Perhaps the Lord is leading some to make some commitment today involving a relationship with him. Perhaps he is offering a chance to repent so that those who hear this message and do not know him may have redemption and salvation with him. Will you submit to him and allow him to impart a grand vision for your life and show you how to live in visionary faith? Let us pray. Father God,
If you would like to know more about us, you can find us on the web at wpbcmd.org and on Facebook at White Plains Baptist Church 1978.